Yep.
Yep. Can't quarrel with that.
Like somebody yesterday said that, you know, maybe in millions of years from now, they'll run automobiles on love.
Maybe they won't have automobiles to run.
No, in the future, there's not going to be... You see, I'm saying this because I've done a program yesterday that went into the same things, and I have to repeat this, that we are changing constantly all the time. And at some point in our lives, not ours, but, you know, in zillions of years from now, there won't be any physical matter. You know, we'll be energies. But a little before that, yeah, there'll be no radios, no televisions. It'll be straight to the brain, waves reaching you into the brain. But really, the fantastic phenomena is that we are changing all the time. Mm-hmm. If you look back at our ancestors, you know, they find that, you know, their foreheads were smaller, narrower. They were more hairy, and all those physical things that you can see on a person. So can you imagine how we look, you know, maybe in, 400 million years from now. Maybe 400,000 million from now, I don't really know, because that... But we'll be smaller, and we won't have any hair. Maybe we won't have any eyes. We won't, you know, have hands, because we'll just think of everything and it's going to happen. You know, I won't have to, you know, take that jug of water. I'll just think it here, and it'll appear. And no cars, no airplanes. We'll just teleport it ourselves. And that changes, you know, the body in the process of evolution. My thing that I always question is, what happens when we become pure energies? What then? Like, my ultimate question is, what created God? Mm-hmm. Which I think our minds will go short circuit if we know the answer. You know, my theory about many people in mental houses is that it happened to them and they went crazy. I wrote it
by our standards, at least.
Yes, of course. Who knows where?
Who knows where they are?
Yeah, where they are.
Maybe that's just not useful information in our sphere.
That's why there is, you know, everybody says it's better not to know too much in our lives.
I recall reading something in the book about the continuity of past, present, and future, or the coexistence. Your view that there was no separation,
yeah.
And yet we're talking about the future somehow. But is that just becoming aware of something that exists now that we're unaware of?
Yes, exactly. I mean, again, maybe we are... Look, these are totally my theories, that there is no time, mm-hmm. but velocities. It's a speed, constant speed. And... when you say that there, you know, again, no time, how can you explain that? You can't. In our words, you can't. Sometimes you can explain it by imagination, but again, that stops in a limited point where you cannot explain more. But I think that everything is happening right now. Everything. The pyramids are being built right now. You know, the science fiction stories are really happening right now. It's just one big, endless, infinite happening.
Was it Arthur Clarke that was commenting? Wow, I wrote about this 20 years ago. You're doing it. Yeah.
He saw an experiment at the University of London and it flipped. Yeah. But, you know, those people like Arthur Clarke and other writers who write science fiction, they're really writing science and not fiction, because it's all going to happen.
Well, he implied that he didn't believe it when he wrote it.
Well, they usually don't believe it, because their mind is going so far into that time that when they come back, they're all mixed up, so they think that they made it up, but they didn't really. They actually were there, and they saw what's happening, and they came back to our time, and they wrote about it. The same thing going into the past. But listen, even you yourself are doing it right now. Do you remember when you were about 7 years old, and you had a dog?
Right.
So what do you think you're doing now? You're going back into the past when you remember things. All these memory cells and all in your brain. You are passing the speed of light with your brain, and I don't know what speed you're entering into, but you're going into the past, and you remember the dog.
Sure.
And if you go into the future and you visualize, you know, whatever have you in the future, you know, buildings and flying cars, you know, you're going into the future with your brain. That's what's happening. So our brain is a time machine that we are only using very little percent of it. Now, can you imagine what would happen if we'd use all of our brain? You know, I'd just materialize in here, materialize out. No, I won't have to use any doors or cars or anything like that. Right?
You're tuned to KQED FM in San Francisco, and this is New Dimensions, and we're here with Uri Geller. Uri Geller is here with us, and Will, you had something that you wanted to share.
There are lots of things that, let's just, how about one of the poems, just a short one. Close your eyes and try to see the bright light that will be coming from above. Try to control it by thinking towards the beam that will be transferred to your mind by means of evolution and understanding.
During the music interlude, we were talking with Uri about his relationship with Andrea Pahart, and Uri, maybe you'd like to share that with our listeners.
As you know, he wrote a book about me, and what he wrote, the facts are real. All of them happened. But his philosophy is different than mine is. And, of course, whoever reads my book and read his know exactly what the difference is. Dr. Andre, I'll call him Andre because he's a friend and he still is. He's away now somewhere in Mexico working with healers. I haven't seen him for a long time. But there was one very... he made a big mistake, and that was keeping me sort of under a bell jar. I have to give all my respect to that. He brought me to this country, but he also wanted to owe me, you know, like a father and a son sort of relation. You know, he wanted to have this power, me, and I can't, nobody can do that to me. You have to be free, you have your own will, and with him I didn't. As a matter of fact, a year before, just a year ago, I was in this city with him, you know, on a, promoting his book, and everybody tells me now in every television or radio show that I go, that, you know, it's... things that I say and I talk, they're totally different because I didn't say anything when I was with him. I felt like I'm being, you know, anchored down, and that, you know, I cannot say what I want to.
Did you feel that he was perhaps trying to protect you from something, or channel your movements and your career, so to speak, into a particular... direction, or how do you relate to that?
I believe that yes, he wanted to protect me, but his protection turned into something that was possession, you know, and not protection. That's what happened, unfortunately. But he's a brilliant man, and maybe because he is so brilliant, that's what happened to him. Maybe because he believed so much that that's his role, and that's why it happened. And I'll never forget the day that I was in London talking with publishers about my book, and suddenly he appeared there with Bob Banker, one of the executives of Doubleday, his book. And he said to me, "What are you doing?" I said, "I wrote my book." And they started shouting, "You can't do this, I brought you to the country." And I looked outside the window. This was in the, which hotel was that in England? I don't remember the name of the hotel right now. The something with S. Second, let me think. It's important that I'll remember the name.
Savoy?
No, it's opposite Marks and Spencer. The whole block is called that name.
Is there any psychics out there? Call in and tell us.
See, I don't remember. Anyhow, I looked outside the window, and when he was talking in anger, and there opposite the hotel was another house, and on the roof of the house were thick rails, you know, to keep people from falling out. And one started curling upwards, very slowly. And I just looked at it. And then I knew that I was doing the right thing.
Are you continuing to receive what has been described in Andrea's book as direct communication from kinds of intelligences that I guess we would call extraordinary? In the way that was described in the book, are these continuing to occur?
Yes, they do. Strangely enough, they appear more like a voice would appear. Three times a voice appeared in the room, just we heard a voice, and about four times it came through me with my own voice cords. And still these messages are very, very simple. Not really messages, it's just, I don't understand it. I really don't understand. Maybe one day when I'll hear all these messages together, then maybe I'll have a map in my hand. But still now, I'd rather not go into it. I still don't know what it means.
I'm going to quote back at you again. "All along, my outlook had been maturing and developing, but I still hadn't gotten down to the core of it. By then, I believed that the core had to do with some fantastic intelligence. I didn't know what to call it because I feel that God is not reachable directly. But under God, all these intelligences exist, millions and millions of them. And one of them, two of them, five, who knows how many, are trying to make some kind of contact with man. I could be wrong. It could be so big that our human minds right now on Earth can't understand it because we have to stick to it to an ordinary time frame, and our minds will have to be expanded. For instance, I have a theory that some people think is far out. I'm convinced that we are in the middle of a big map, a huge plan that involves other civilizations and other planets, other solar systems, other galaxies. But somewhere, down in the middle of the core, we are one."
Yep.
I like your book.
Thank you. You know, it's like New York when you stand 57th and 1st. You look down the street and you can see, you know, maybe the end of 57th Street. But you don't see anything more, and you see 1st, and maybe you see the waters of the river. But once you go to the 20th floor of a tall building, you see more. And if you're hovering with a helicopter above the city, then you see everything. And if you're flying with a high jet, you see more than New York. So it's really where we are on 57th.
Or finally you see the big blue marble.
We see many things, but we are, I think we're far away from that total map.
I was going to ask you, that obviously there's some kind of plan or purpose behind the fact that you were able to demonstrate physical phenomena. Those of us who've been or had contact with various teachings have been admonished many times to beware of phenomena, to not give them any great importance, and acknowledging the fact that life itself is phenomena, or a phenomenon. How would you relate to teachings of that kind and the cautions that are presented? And how do you feel the phenomena that you present fit into that picture?
Uh, ask me that simpler.
There's always been this admonition about the occult, about dabbling in the occult, you know, or dabbling in psychic phenomena.
You mean the dangers of it?
Right, yeah.
No, there's no dangers. I don't believe in devils and Lucifers and all that. I believe that the negative comes from us. So, if it comes from us, then we can't control it. And that's why I don't believe that anything should be... So people should be scared from phenomena happening. In my lifetime, never ever this phenomena ever hurt anybody or scared anybody. Maybe, you know, startled somebody. I mean, can you imagine an astral levitating up in front of you? So I'm sure some people maybe will start laughing, but most of them will be shocked, you know. But that's as far as it goes. It cannot hurt. That is why I believe, the main reason that's why I believe that it's an intelligence, it's a thinking power behind this, much more intelligent than we are.
In the book you state several times that you feel it can only be used for good, that it can never be used for war, that it can never be used to harm anyone.
Yes.
Is this something you really feel very deeply? Is there any...
It's something like I know that God exists. It's something that you are, you know. The fantastic thing is that, with, you know, without bending forks and all that, what really puzzles me is that I was born with the idea that God exists. I wasn't taught that, or my parents were never religious. I just knew it, you know. Since as far as I remember, I just knew that there is one God. And it's a great feeling to you know, to grow up that way. It's a belief, you know, that you really know.
Instinct.
Well, instinct is light. I would like you to put on the record now, because there is something about creation there. It's called Deep Velvet Space, and if it's not that one on, then it's the other is also about creation.
Stephen, it's,
the music is was written by an American classical pianist called Byron Janis. And I wrote the poems.
And read them.
And read them, because I'm not a singer. Don't tell me the record is bending.
Stephen is bending over and he's cueing the record. New Dimensions, and we're here with Uri Geller. And a listener called a few minutes ago, Uri, and asked if you had any comment on the teachings of Don Juan or the writings of Carlos Castaneda, whichever you prefer. Do you have any comment?
The only comment I have is that I've never read a book in my life. I didn't. So I don't know what to write.
You've only wrote them.
I wrote my book. And that's the only book that I read. There was another book that I read. Which
did you
I
read
was
Andrea's book, Anya?
Which I was forced to read. It was Robinson Crusoe in school. But something doesn't let me read a book. Even Andrea's book about me, I swear that I did not read it as a book. I just went through the manuscript. I just don't read books. I don't, maybe because I'm too nervous to sit down and read, or maybe because it doesn't, you know, because I think I know enough, and I don't want anything to change my theories. I'm sorry about that, listener.
Were you considered hyperactive when you were little?
Oh yes, I can't sit in one place for a long time. If I don't draw, I would be out of here a long time ago.
You're going to need another page pretty soon. I'm not sure how much more energy can be put on one page.
There is no end.
There's
no
end. Finer and finer.
So there's
line.
No end to Innes.
Closer and closer.
I could do on this page again the same thing, in a different dimension, but it's still on the same page.
Just wanted to introduce Jean Mayo. Voice of the show. Jean is a dear old friend, and want to introduce yourself, Jean?
Sure. My name is Jean Mayo, and I helped draw the pictures that are reproduced at SRI in the electromagnetically shielded room. And you mentioned earlier about not believing in the devil. One of the things that fascinated me most about the way Aries' mind works in this regard is that when I drew a picture of the devil, he gave us back the tablets of Moses, the first commandment of which, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So it wasn't just an ESP experiment, it was a philosophy lesson as well, and I'll never forget it. We had a lot of fun doing that at that time.
We haven't said anything about the SRI experiments. Why don't you, or Jean, why don't you...
Can I do something that I have never ever done on a radio show in my life? Don't think anything big is going to happen here. You know, I've been interviewed 100 of times, maybe I'm coming to 1,000 interviews on the radio, but I would like to do something and say something to somebody out there, to Ron and Nancy Hawk and their lovely children. Thank you for bringing me here. Okay? Shall I comment on the SRI? Say something about that. Jean was introduced to me by Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff. I never knew her before. And I think that one of the drawings that Jean, if I'm not mistaken, you did draw the solar system, right?
I drew all of them, but the Varger.
And I think the one that really got me was the solar system was drawn, and I was in a shielded room and I received it, but I also heard the music of 2001 in my ears.
That was fascinating to me because we would try to think of sending either concept or picture or word, and at that time we had drawn the picture, but my solar system looked more, you know, wasn't much of a solar system and a quick drawing. And so I mocked up in my mind the whole introduction to the movie 2001 so that I could see that music and see it and hear it, I mean, at the same time. And then listening to the tape recording that he made later after we got together and the experiment was over, one of the things he said is, I'm hearing the music of 2001. So that gave us a whole new dimension about how things are transmitted. There's concept. If we stuck with concept, sometimes he would get the drawing wrong and have the concept right. And if we stuck to drawing, he used to tell me, keep your eyes open because the concept would mess up the drawing. Isn't that right?
If we're going into all kinds of technical and all kinds of scientific stuff, why don't you call in, you know, Jack and Fred, they're out there. For a second, I don't want to forget them out there. This is a really thorough program.
I'd like to say that Uri Geller is left-handed, which may give him more access to the right hemisphere non-visualization areas.
I think we should point out that Jean is has been for some time working in a kind of a multidimensional art form, which involves the participant's own brainwaves, or the performer, I guess you would say, triggering in the different hemispheres of the brain, triggering different external phenomena. Am I characterizing
that? Oh,
yeah.
No, that's right. The world's first biofeedback light sculpture is now down at the Rainbow Show at the De Young Museum. We demonstrated on weekends, and I'll probably be down there tomorrow hooking up people so that they can see their light, their brainwaves flashing on and off. And, of course, the message for that is the same as some of the things that are saying here, is how you look is what you see. And since your logic is determined by your basic assumptions, and your basic assumptions are based on what you have an emotional involvement in, then one should not really pay quite so much attention to their logical system, which is what our educational system emphasizes. And the fact that Uri managed to escape reading, writing, and arithmetic is hooray, you know, finally.
A breakthrough in education.
Oh, really, a breakthrough in education. We're really excited about it. Biofeedback is another breakthrough in education because children can learn to control their own autonomic nervous systems and get involved in the sense of the mind as a light energy form, where things like bending keys seem more, you know, there is more logic form in that space if you think of the whole magnetic spectrum chart. Uri, you want to comment on this?
Why don't we introduce our two good friends?
We've been joined in the studio by Jack Scarfotti and Fred Wolf, two physicists of an organization called Physics Consciousness Research Group. Did I get that right?
Right.
And I had lunch with these two fine gentlemen one day last week, and we were talking about many things, and among which was Uri Geller. And I asked them what they thought of you, Uri. And they said, Uri exhibits very ordinary phenomena, as we interpret it. maybe you could expand on that.
Well, I just want to share with you the marvelous space, Michael, that you've created here for us. It's very calm, very easy to be with you, and it's a great joy to watch Uri doing something where he's not being pushed and pressed into all kinds of kinetic activity other than his, what's coming out of him naturally, which is one way to really educate people. Education is part of the business that I'm in. I'm Fred Wolf speaking to you now. And one of the worst ways that you can educate somebody is to teach them something. one of the best ways you can educate somebody is to be with them and get clear on what it is they're teaching you. It's the rare teacher that finds a student.
Very nicely put. Thank you.
So,
I'm not going to let you get off the hook so easy.
I know, Michael. And I'm just sort of like feeling my way into your space, which I'm really digging. Thank you. Maybe Jack would like to say a few words.
Well, this is Jack Sarfati speaking. It's becoming increasingly apparent to several physicists that a lot of ordinary physical phenomena is psychokinetic in origin. And in particular, we are coming to the conclusion that the quantum theory is very closely connected with consciousness, and that the intention of the observer can actually change physical reality. In fact, we create physical reality.
Just like Seth says.
Sure.
Don Juan says.
Well,
you create your own reality.
The concept then of objective science is taken has to take a re-examination, I would say.
Yeah, well, objective science does not seem to be consistent with modern physics.
Beautifully said.
what we're dealing with and what we have in our universe is a participatory universe, one in which each of us participates. That means that when the scientist or the child or the musician or the conductor takes a stance or position, then the universe which is created to accommodate him in whatever position or stance he takes. We call that quantum reality, And it's very clear that physicists are doing that. One of the things that I amusingly like to point out to people, especially to all you physicists out there listening, is that there's more evidence now for the Gellert phenomena than there is for the existence of charmed particles. You might want to think about that a little bit, you physicists.
There was a great new word that I picked up in the recent Scientific American, quarks.
Quarks, charmed quarks and other quarks.
Yes, we have charmed and colored particles, too. What else do we have? Do they have perfume these days, Jack?
No, just color and charm. So like epicycles and right. Ptolemaic astronomy.
I can relate to all this very easily because the person who I would identify as my first spiritual teacher was a physicist and approached me through that before I could be open or touched on other levels. I needed to have certain kinds of rational closures, and he was able to make certain things evident to me on the intellectual plane, and I dropped all my resistance. And then a whole other level of awareness started to happen. I think we should say something about the book that you've put together, which is a lovely, lovely work of art, and has great humor, and it says it all. You want to talk about
it? It's a book entitled Space, Time, and Beyond.
All of us would love to talk about it.
Who did the drawings, by the way?
Oh, that's one of the most beautiful persons in our life. He's one of the few people on this planet that I've known for 25 or more years. That's my great and dear friend, Bob Tobin, who somehow I know must be hearing this, wherever he happens to be now. And Bob is a very zany, brilliant guy who managed to escape the prison of, I should say, of too much of that high learning. And I don't want to imply that I'm against all that high learning. I just want to point out that it can be a prison. And come out to be a very creative individual, which is rather rare these days in a lot of fields. And the creation of that book, Jack and I both feel, and I think the evidence seems to be more overwhelming now than anything else, that book was an extraterrestrial communication. And I know that sounds really crazy coming from a PhD in physics.
So was the Yellow Submarine.
And so was the Yellow Submarine, I'm sure of that too.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that almost everything that Yuri said tonight about his intuitions about the nature of the universe is completely consistent with the kind of information that we're getting about the new physics. And there's been no direct communication by ordinary means between Yuri and us on that matter.
There's no direct communication between Uri and Hugh and Timothy Leary either, but the transmissions we're getting from him are very consistent with that entire philosophy also, even from inside the prison.
We happen to notice that in one of the books we happen to just happen to pick up in a happening that we happen to be happening at.
Really covering the map tonight, folks.
As a matter of fact, we just got a letter from Timothy Leary asking...
Did you? Tell us about it.
Simply asking us to contribute to a new journal.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Kesey's journal, Spit in the Ocean.
It's the only open communication we have now. Great. I'll give you some more copies of that if you want.
Great.
The thing that I think that your book...
I want to share with our listeners, too, in case anything's happening out there for you that is out of the ordinary. We'd like to hear from you.
Smiling Milnofsky.
Because we're working in cooperation with Jeff Mishlove because he's working on a doctorate, and he'd like to get some surveys out to you if something's... some extraordinary phenomena occurring in your home.
Well, with a message hot in my hand from Lake County, there were three watches put on a table, and the message wasn't given whether they're now functioning or not, but one jumped off the table.
that's possible.
Let me just give the phone number, and it's 864-2051, 864-2051.
Why don't you all people at home who do have broken watches now? I don't have here any broken watches, thanks God. Pick them up in your hands and just want them to start ticking. Why don't we hear the mood and things are going to happen? Just listen to the words.
What's the title of the cut?
The Mood.
The Mood.
It's called The Mood. cosmos, outer space, they have no ending. Life goes on. Energy is forever. Nothing ever ends. All possibilities are here to try, and anything we can imagine may come true. Let us drift our minds to believing and try with our thought powers to do something that we never felt we could achieve. Let's pick up something, maybe a fork, a spoon, or a key. Now concentrate. Drift your mind into believing deeply, want truly the phenomena to occur. Hold the fork or key in your hand gently and start repeating in your head and mind, bend, bend. Also, run your finger very smoothly up and down the object, barely touching the metal, stroking it tenderly while repeating in your mind, bend, bend. Now, if it's bending, just be happy and want it to continue. You are a part of a fascinating effect that is really hidden in many of us. But if it didn't happen, please don't be disappointed, because it doesn't happen to everybody. Maybe it's not the time, or the mood is not right. Sometimes it doesn't even work for me. And now, let's try one more thing. Hold a broken watch or a clock in your hand that stopped ticking, never mind how many years ago. And do the same thing, but instead of bending, say in your mind, work, work, start ticking. Somehow, want it to come to life again. Life is strange. People are even stranger, holding within them unknown capacities. Only now we are on the threshold of opening another world and discovering the possibilities of the human mind. Everything is possible to you who truly believe. Thank you.
We thought Uri had dematerialized. He did for a few minutes. He's back with us now.
Only in body. Voice is with us.
And if anything is happening in your home, like your watch is working, your grandfather's clock that hasn't run in 32 years is now running, give us a call. The phone is 864-2051. We'd like to have your name and address. And we may even surprise a few of you and take your call on the air. So
I think we've pretty well established what the overt phenomena is all about now. I think it's pretty safe to demonstrate just how it happens. Ray, how do you feel about that?
You have spoons and forks.
Of course. You know they were hidden.
That's been already.
That was like that. We're not going to give you one.
Spoons are not really personal. Yeah.
You like keys.
Spoons and forks.
You know, I found this.
I don't know if I'll feel for it. Let me
I found this old watch.
Oh, boy.
And it's sort of rusty and has no hands.
Sort of,
but it has a second hand and has no stem.
Yeah, but it has nothing inside.
Yes, it does. I opened it to be sure.
Really?
Because that was one of the things.
Where did you find this?
You know, I have no idea. I think in a basement somewhere once.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated. But I did take the back
off.
It
must be about 150
morning.
Years old.
Michael is industriously fumbling with his...
I used a screwdriver instead of the stem, you know, to...
Leave him here.
To try and
if I feel for it, it'll happen, you know. I really... I'm happy to be once on a program where I don't have to do
well,
things.
You don't have to.
You don't.
Yeah, that's...
That's right.
That's... I feel so much better. It's a very rare program, very beautiful. I hope I get a cassette of it, yes?
Yeah. I think maybe we could arrange that.
We have your address. We'll see that you get a cassette.
Okay, very good. Very good. And I wonder if... did you give the numbers for people to call in?
Yes, 864-2051.
I wonder what is happening in people's houses, because I don't know how many listeners you have.
Thousands.
Really?
Thousands.
So something might be happening up there. It's a are there any phones at all around
There's
here?
There's one right here.
Are there people calling in?
They are.
So can we
Would
hear?
Would you like to talk to them?
Sure.
Go ahead. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Hello, I would like to tell you that my watch is running.
Good.
It was a watch that hasn't been running for about 2 years. It belongs to my husband. But the strangest thing about this, I've been so excited to try this because I've known all about Mr. Geller, and I've wanted to try this for such a long time. So I did it before he ever put the recording on.
Uh-huh.
Earlier in the program, I just held it in my hands. I cupped both my hands around it, and it just happened that I even chose to say, as he suggested, work, work, watch, work. And it did.
Wow. That's great.
It started at 10 to 9.
How old are you?
What?
How old are you?
I'm 42.
He just wrote it down on his hand.
Oh, 14.
He was just writing 42 before he asked you.
Yeah, Yuri just wrote 42 on his
page. Yes. Oh, how exciting.
I was feeling it for me, and I also felt, first of all, I wrote your age down, which I felt the most, 42. And then I felt three other numbers coming. Is there anything? Well, this might be a far shot, but I got 008 from you. Does that mean anything to you?
008.
Maybe you can't remember right now, but I'm sure something is going to happen to you. Either happened with the number 008.
Okay.
It really came very strongly. But I really got your age very strong, and I wrote it down before I even asked. So you are happy and you have a broken watch.
Yeah, so my husband and I have had some very astounding psychic experiences in the last 3 months.
It.
So I believe the 008 will develop into something.
No.
Okay, thank you very much for calling
in. Yes, don't hang up. We'd like to get somebody on the line and get your name and address, okay?
Bye.
All right,
I'll put you on hold.
Before we do, I'd just like to comment on something that just happened here. I brought in an old watch that I have no idea where I found. It has no hands on it, except it does have a second hand. It has no stem.
Yes.
The second hand of the watch, which has no face on it, is now at a 45 degree angle.
Sticking up into the air.
Standing
out from the face.
Yeah. Well, tell me, was that watch still working when I left?
We'll ask everyone tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, who's on the line? Let's hear.
Okay, you want to take another call?
Right.
Hello, you're on the air.
Can you listen to me? I have my radio behind.
Well, turn it down a little bit. We can hear you fine, though.
It's not interfering, so go ahead.
I just wanted to report that while you were giving us a suggestion on the radio, I was looking for a key in my key case, one that I wouldn't have to use if the experiment worked. And it did. This is the Schlage key number. Well, it has a G on the other side. And it is actually slightly bent, and it's never been bent before, and I know these keys have never been bent. I'm really very surprised, and I give you my name, and so what I'm trying to find out from you is whether there's any way that one could continue these experiments or keep the objects which are being, you know, affected by this sort of thing and experiment with these things until I can get that form which you are going to send me. Research.
By the force of your intention, I think you can keep it happening. Just keep trying.
I don't require any radio suggestion or nothing, but just an actual will. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Could you repeat that again? We didn't quite get that.
I'm wondering if I only require to concentrate on whichever object to see that my thought is affecting it and then report it to you. I didn't realize that this was possible. It's the first time it ever happened. I happened to tune on your radio earlier, and I've been listening to what you were saying. I think there's a fantastic amount of power in what you're saying. And if those physicists are there and they study things in a different way, I think there's really a lot of research that can be done on this.
Yeah, so we're trying to do that kind of research right now.
I'd also like to suggest that anytime you're doing...
This is Fred Wolf talking.
Right. I should say who I am, right? That anytime you're doing an experiment of this kind, there are several things which do come up, such as fear. And when you're into fear, it's sometimes difficult to get the results you want. And what I want to say is try to just be with what's happening and just let it happen. Don't try to force it or push it or make it do anything that it isn't doing. Just sort of be with it, even your own fear. And so when that comes up, just let it up and be with it. I don't know if that helps you any, but that's one way of enjoying your life anyway.
Hmm. Are you saying that when you have a certain sort of power within yourself, you don't really have to be concentrated upon it to have things happen around you? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I'm really saying that you don't have to push it, that pushing it sometimes aggravates it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really very impressed, and I'll be delighted to fill that form that you're sending me.
Good. We got your name and address then, huh?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
The number again is 864-2051, and if the lines are busy, just keep trying. They'll open up eventually. Let's take another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, top of the evening. Is that Mr. Yuri?
He's here.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Yuri, we're honored to talk to you tonight, and we were looking forward to your visit on the radio so much. And when you told us, or when the operator told us to put the watches on out, we did that, and two of them don't have any winders, and they haven't been used for several years. And one of them, and the radio is flat. In other words, it's a tabletop radio, so that it's not got any hump on it or anything, and there is a big shelf to stop it moving. And, of course, nobody actually saw this thing happen, but it dropped on the carpet. And when I called up to report this, I kind of got the feeling you thought it might have broken. And not that at all. It's actually ticked, and we've decided for at least 4 minutes.
Really? Tell me, how many years are you in America?
Oh, God save the Queen, sir. You've got a very attentive ear.
No, how many years are you here?
We came to America, and we're very happy to say we came to America in 1962.
I want to ask you something. I might be wrong. Do you have at home a statue of a white horse?
Do we have at home a statue of a white horse?
Yes.
No, we have a picture of a white horse.
Is it near you? Because I saw, I didn't know if it's a statue or a picture. It looked to me more like a statue of a white horse. Do you really have this at home?